Now connecting to the Webcomic Beacon Extended Play.
Testing 1-2, testing 1-2. Hello and welcome to episode 179 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. And, well, this is actually a bit of a leftover from the newscast earlier this week. Episode 178, we had T. Campbell on as a guest news anchor, I suppose. And after we ended the show, the conversation went on for about 40 minutes on additional topics of discussion, and I think it was really good that I decided to turn it into an EP. I could have tacked it on to the end of the newscast, but I wanted to keep the newscast as a newscast. So this will be in place of the Tropecast, which we were unable to record earlier this week. I only want to say, as far as additional website news, we are going to be coming up with a new website, hopefully within the next month, where we'll be rebranding the Webcomic Beacon website into the Webcast Beacon Network, and that will consist of basically having the Webcomic Beacon, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, as one show. The Tropecast will become its own show, and we'll be adding a new podcast called Web Fiction World. And I have a couple of hosts for that as well. And hopefully we'll be getting this all going in the next month. Otherwise, stay tuned to webcomicbeacon.com for until we come up with the new website and when it's available. And without further ado, what has become episode 179 of the Webcomic Beacon. Again, at webcomicbeacon.com, but you should know that already. Anyway, here we go.
Yeah, I wanted to compare Rob to DJ Kaufman a little bit, because DJ's hit me into that fit of laughter because he's still trying to sell his tutorials about producing a notable comic without actually producing a notable comic, but he's.
We had him on the show.
But he's still somebody who's volatile, but he's still somebody who has a basic sort of integrity, whereas Rob Granito just deserves complete contempt, if not an arrest warrant.
Yeah, I mean, DJ Kaufman came on our show for free. We didn't have to pay him, unlike Rob, which is asking for money for interviews.
Yeah, that is clearly an act of desperation because he's realized he's never getting work again in his life. I mean,
I'm sure he is using Charlie Sheen as a model. Unfortunately, if you're paying attention to Charlie Sheen news, that's no longer a really viable looking strategy.
Right. Yeah. Winning.
It was a very strange story.
You guys might get to it next week.
Yeah. DJ is an interesting story because, I mean, he is trying to sell the webcomic. There's a lot of people out there trying to sell webcomic advice right now. He's not the only one. And time I see it, it's sort of stomach churning because webcomics change so quickly,
right.
Any advice for selling is out of date 5 minutes ago. Right. And it's one of those things that I really was looking through stuff today, and I said, my God, everything I knew about webcomics is now useless. I couldn't give anyone advice anymore because everything I know has changed.
I don't believe that's entirely true. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff out there where you can at least have a good start or a good basis for something. Like if you look at the past archive of the Webcomic Beacon episodes, there's lots of decent starting topics, but you know they expand a lot in a year since we've done a lot of these particular shows. There's a whole lot more we could go on into.
Yeah, but the basic stuff you can get for free. The basic right. stuff, like how to use anti-alias. That's like in every freaking webcomic book or tutorial ever. This is what anti-alias does. But the basic stuff you can get for free, and the really, really interesting stuff, you know, how to really get your name out there, that changes moment by moment and by comic by comic. And it just feels a little slimy when someone tries to sell their advice to me. And I mean, I think DJ is a good guy and he really does want to help people. But at the same time, you can't advocate for the buying of advice, in my opinion.
Right.
That's my opinion, but
speaking of
which, DJ has thrown himself against some really hard walls in his career, and I know he works hard. I think you're right. I think that he is coming into it from a place with good intentions, but it's very difficult to gather the right perspective on webcomics advice. I've been working on that article that I mentioned for Brad Geiger for ages and ages, and it's just 12 things that I've learned in 12 years. It's not a not a terribly ambitious piece. It's like everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten for webcomics, and I'm still kind of flustered by it because some things that I would have taken for granted a few years ago have in fact changed. And sometimes that's frustrating. I feel like if things hadn't changed, then this project or that project might be a bigger success. But it's also kind of liberating. I mean, our predecessors, previous generations of cartoonists, had to work in an environment where things didn't change very much, and that was not a good thing. The artists in the 1950s got deals that were barely better than the famous deals that famously shafted people like Siegel, Shuster, and Bill Finger. And now, you know, you don't have to necessarily jump on the bandwagon of stick figure comics just because a couple of them are successful. It's not like that's the new rule that will be in place for the next 20 years, you know?
Right.
Guys, I feel like I've probably talked your ears into complete submission.
No, that's
here,
fine.
I really enjoy doing this.
I'm going to try to add this part to the show before we close out because it's still some good information in here. I wanted to mention that actually I've developed a panel. It's more of a lecture. I call it the Crash Course to Webcomics, and all it does is talk about. At least, if you don't know what you're doing, this will give you a start off because there's an exception to everything I'm going to say. Yeah. And I've done it twice already at two different conventions, and they've gone over pretty well, and I'm going to be doing it again at a couple others. But I'm not charging for it either, so...
Yeah, that's my point. You do need a jumping-off point. You do need to say, okay, what tools are out there? I remember when I was starting up, I had no idea how to get a comic online. So I started out with Comic Genesis, and Comic Genesis went down. I was like lost. I said, oh my God, how do I host my comic online? And I had to learn the really hard way. I first did manual pages and then found software that was not good and then found good software. But it's a very painful startup. and you can get caught in traps if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know some of the basic stuff that's out there. But again, that doesn't feel like the advice that should be sold. That's not secrets. That's the thing everyone who's in webcomics knows, and people do need to know that. But that's not the trade secrets. And I mean, there are a few things that people do know, and it is worth an article or two. But when it gets to be, you know, my manual on how to make webcomics and webcomic success,
mm-hmm.
that gets a little weird. Come pay for the webcomic boot camp or, you know, all that sort of stuff. It does get into this territory where you're presenting yourself as expert on everything in a field that is more diverse than anyone can understand. Because the next successful webcomic is something that uses technology in ways no one even thought of. So even though it worked for person A, you can't repeat it. You got to do something else different. And they're the basics, but beyond the basics and a few basic pieces of advice. T, are you writing an article on how to work with artists in yours?
That is at least one, and maybe two of the 12 yeah. things. Yeah.
Because I mean that's the one part where people do need advice. How to work with and deal with artists, because people who are dividing up the labor, they don't know how to do that at all. And I've seen so many painful examples of that. So there are stuff like that, and there are pieces of advice that they need to know. But you know, it you get into a problem where you're presenting yourself as an expert, and some of the advice you give is just dead wrong for a particular type of webcomic. Because what you do for webcomic A, which is your stick fingers about math, doesn't work for webcomic B, which is an epic storyline detailing the races of the five forgotten lands or something like that. They're so entirely different. You gotta have a very different technique.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now it's my turn to talk people's ears off.
No! It's perfectly fine.
Normally, it's me.
I think a lot of the piece is going to have to be about what is inconstant and what you can't expect to count on. I know one of the things in there is that. Is that nobody's canonical. This is a little bit of a tangent off what you're saying, but when I grew up and read comics, I sort of assumed that everyone revered both Stan Lee and Alan Moore. I heard nothing but praise from every source that I investigated for those guys, and I thought they were great when I was 16, 18, and at some point I began to realize that that if you Google anybody's name and in quotes next to the word sucks, you will get something. There's no, and they still benefit from a media landscape that's a lot more united than what we have now. More united than what we have now. I think that XKCD is a very interesting work. I think it has hits and misses, but when it hits, it really hits. And there's a more than one blog dedicated to talking about how terrible it is three times a week. That's just something we have to live with. We have to, all of us have traded a world of certainty for a world of possibility. And that's, and I guess it's just up to us to make the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same thing, when someone says Stan Lee sucks, you know, they're saying Stan Lee sucks because Stan Lee is incredibly popular, and that gets them noticed. You know, it is one of these things.
Well, sometimes that is the motivation, but some of them do genuinely believe it.
Yeah, and I mean, you can genuinely believe it, but there is something to be said that if you have your website and you've started up and you have, you know, 100 viewers, and then someone writes a long article about how you suck, there might be something in there for you to look at, you know?
Right.
Because you have raised to the attention of someone who should not be paying attention to you. And if they're saying you suck, maybe they have a good point. I mean, I remember when I was starting out, I had a bunch of people saying I suck, and it was because I actually suck. I mean, it wasn't, and I read the reviews, and I actually got good advice out. I mean, right. You had to sort of filter through the vitriol and, you know, calling me the worst thing since the clone of Hitler, you know, mated with Stalin or something like that, but there was good advice in there as well. And too often I see people saying, well, you just hate me because there's haters out on the internet. And it's like, no, your stuff is kind of bad.
if I may go back to something that Mr. Campbell wrote in A History of Webcomics. I'm going to paraphrase this. Yeah, I can't find the actual lines, but I'm going to paraphrase. And basically, your example is precisely why Control Alt Delete exploded into its popularity, because everyone hated it and thus provided links to. Of course, this isn't a world where there's not that many webcomics, but
yeah.
Hey, a simpler world, perhaps a happier one.
Yeah, but the dark path of webcomics, saying that I'm going to get people to hate me simply to get readers, you know, so I'm going to write comics about abortion, and I, you know, I'm going to write all these comics that people will fume over. That is a short ride. I mean, you get popular, and then people, you lose people, because you have to keep that up day after day. And at the same time you are getting all this hate mail, you're also burning bridges. You know, you can't do anything after that if you're just creating this atmosphere of hate around you.
It's a, I mean, I've considered and ultimately rejected all kinds of plans to up my readership and my popularity, because I can't really do them and say that they came from me. They came from the market, and if something comes from the market, then I'm not going to be able to maintain it in a meaningful way. It's going to feel like an intellectual exercise, mechanical, very, very quickly. And I think that's a mistake that some of these hate trollers make. They're not really as filled with bile as they would like to be for the sake of their popularity. So like you say, they're not really able to keep it up.
And there is a negative side to getting lots of people to hate you, surprisingly enough. I mean, there is a point where it comes back to bite you. And I didn't want to talk about, you know, Kurtz's recent post, but I mean,
I almost brought that up in.
Yeah, I mean, here's the sad thing is, you know, Curse has been essentially banned from the Cartoonist Society, and the reason he's banned is not because he pissed off one person. It's because he has so many people out there who just loathe him. It gives cover to one person acting like a dick to him. You know, one person can say he's banned, and everyone says, oh, that's kind of bad, but don't tell anyone I supported Scott Kurtz, because he's created this environment where there's cover for it. You know, and...
The culture has... I mean, there are two things occurring to me. I'll go with the one that that's more directly related to your point. I wrote Scott after that, and I basically told him, "Good on you for not pursuing that goal anymore," because I don't think that he is. I don't think that his is the type of personality who would actually be happy if he were put into the National Cartoonist Society. I think that he has thrived very well right where he is, and if that means that he occasionally delivered a sermon from the mount in his relative youth, that's still a heck of a lot better than being known primarily as the guy who developed a strip suspiciously similar to Penny Arcade and claimed no inspiration when Penny Arcade was mentioned in the first strip. and I'm being gentle with Control Alt Delete there. There are other things to say about Tim Buckley. The National Cartoonist Society is probably going to end up one of the unfortunate casualties of the new era. I really don't think that it has it in it to change until Stephen Pestis and Bill Emmons are the senior members, and by that time, you know, I don't think we'll have newspapers as newspapers anymore.
Well, one thing they didn't talk about that really kind of bothered me is that they don't mention anywhere like what that society does for anyone. You know,
well, like, they give out scholarships. They actually do stuff. They give out scholarships to
not to every member.
No, what?
Not to every member or anything.
No. I mean, it's a drinking club. No, I mean, frankly, anything named society is doomed in the modern era. But
nobody's held the Justice Society.
But they give out scholarships. They do outreach. You know, it is the gentleman's drinking club sort of thing. There was another news article about someone getting a full scholarship to college just this year for the National Cartoonist Society. So it is, they do stuff.
I think it is a fair point that doesn't come up nearly often enough. A lot of people just know them as the guys who meet once a year, give out the Rubens and carp about webcomics. Yeah. I think they have a much bigger shot at remaining relevant if they put a lot less emphasis on how they feel about the digital market and a lot more emphasis on, hey, here are these worthy things that we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, there's a perfectly good reason for someone to want to be in a society simply as a badge of honor.
Yeah,
prestige. And it, It's perfect. Reasonable. The point that I was that just really came to me is that if we were talking about anyone besides Scott Kurtz who posted this online saying I've been banned from the National Coverage Humanist Society, someone of equal stature posted online that saying I'm not
Brad Geiger for Pete's sake.
You know, anyone else that posted that and said, "Look, it, I have offended the head of the National Coverage Humanist Society, and now I've been banned." Let's say Kate Beaton was banned. There would be an outcry. There would be, there would be storming the gate over that. And that is simply.
I think we lost you.
Of cover.
There we go.
Sorry?
No, go ahead.
We lost you for a second there. Yeah. Just a second.
The problem that occurred was that there is a lot of cover provided by all the people who sort of got offended by little things that happened over the years, all the little arguments and all the little insults that happened, because while the National Cartoonist Society has offended web cartoonists, Scott has also offended web cartoonists.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it ended up you having two camps. You had one camp saying, well, that's sort of offensive, and the other people say, good for them. We don't like Scott. You know, he doesn't deserve to get in. And because there was that division, couldn't have, and it really did seem like this was an attempt to sort of put some pressure on these guys for being dicks about this. And you didn't get that. You got debates about whether Scott deserved to be banned or not. And it's one of those things that,
By the way, let me just go on the record and say that, and say that no, he absolutely did not.
He did not.
If you're going to run a society, you can't be.
You can't behave like that.
Ban people based on the trouble that they might make as members. You can take them aside and say, okay, if you're a member, we expect you to. Do this, not pick fights online with our leadership, but come to us behind the scenes and talk about these issues. And that's a difficult kind of non-disclosure agreement that I'm not sure Scott would be comfortable with. I'm not sure that I would be comfortable with it if I were the one seeking the.
Well, the thing about all the kind of like National Society stuff out there, I mean, there's, I'm a graphic designer, the rest of my time, and there's the American Institute of Graphic Artists and the Art Directors Club of Metropolitan Washington, and a bunch of other ones like that, and I've been members of a bunch of them, and all they do is like give you a place to go and schmooze and booze and, provide some resources. And, at the end of the day, I want to say about, 60% of the people in those societies you wish weren't there, but it's open and you just have to deal with the fact that they're there. Yeah. And then there's about the 30% that's kind of on your level, whatever your level is, that you kind of feel like, okay, I'm here and they're here and we all have about the same right to be here. And then there's like the 10% that like you wonder what they're doing there because they're doing so well. Like, what could they possibly be getting out of this other than feeling better about themselves?
Mm.
And that tends to
happen. I don't know about the percentages, but that's how I feel at conventions.
Yeah, I mean, that tends to happen in a lot of places. And that's kind of the nature of the beast. I mean, that's the nature of webcomics communities is we like, I think all of us would like a webcomics community that managed to find the perfect balance between keeping out the new guy that doesn't know what he's doing, that's asking the same question for the 50th time and is trying to promote himself a little too much. And, if there was like some sort of mid-range community where like people all at about the same level that have been doing it a little while and are not just trying to whore themselves out, but are really trying to have conversations and get information, that kind of stuff could live. But you can't do that. You can't say it's open without having it actually be open. You can't say that it's closed without it actually being closed. Like, there's just no one's managed to find the good balance. And
That's the biggest trouble.
People have tried. A bunch of people varying successes.
Yeah, well, you say you can't, and yet people do. Unfortunately, this is where the flaw of human element comes in. I can't believe I forgot about this, but I've been excluded from a society that theoretically should have been open to me once in my life. I'm not at liberty to give any details, but it's something that bothered me. But then,
is it the one I think it is?
Maybe have to evaluate certain priorities, and you know, you just
right.
move on.
Yeah, I mean, but to be perfectly honest,
wait, I gotta ask, T, is it the one I think it is?
I don't know. What do you think it is?
I typed
Send
it
through
chat.
The chat.
the what?
I typed it in the chat.
He's on his phone. He can't
see. Oh, he can't see.
I'm on the phone, and I don't really feel like giving you any details on the air.
That's quite all right. Quite all right.
Yeah, I mean, the point is, we all want to be members of a society that would only let us in as low level, and then everyone above us. I mean, that's the society I want to be. I want to be in a society where everyone is better than me, and everyone can help my career, but I don't want to help these other guys. So I want to be the bottom level, and that's what everyone wants out of a society, is so that they are the lowest level of that society, and none of the ruffians that are below me get it.
that's so elegant. I mean,
but it's honest.
Realistically, I'd be willing to compromise to the point where people 10 or 20 or 30% below me could get in. But yeah, when you're talking about an elite group like that, loses all meaning if all the commoners can get in there.
It's kind of interesting because, as far as the podcast is concerned, because when we first started the Webcomic Beacon, you know, in 2007, it was a very much by amateurs and for amateurs sort of thing. But I think we've grown up a lot in that time, and we're starting to see this mid-range of webcomicers which are not being appealed to, or there's like no real good place for them, and it's certainly something that, you know, it's like you want to do a good job, you may not feel you're ready for the big time yet, or take that professional business stride just yet, but you're definitely not on the playground with the training wheels anymore.
And that's the real change in webcomics. I mean, we now have people who are doing good work, but it's not a career for them. And you have people who have real talent, but it's something that they're doing. And it's a notable difference between the guys who just get on there and who've never drawn and have no concept of story, and they just sort of throw something up there. And there is that mid zone where people are saying, I can't make a living off of this, or I make a better living off of my day job. So, you know, where is it? Where am I in the whole thing?
Or even the people that want to make that next jump, but, you know, it's, you know, they can't quite find where or how to make that, because it is a big risk. And a lot of time when you see some of the people that are successful, you look at, oh, something really bad happened to them, and that they had all this extra time to hone their skills, and then it became, you know, it's
unemployment. Yes.
Yeah,
there's an old DC comic called Underworld Unleashed. It was one of the big crossover events, and therefore should be completely forgettable. But there was one plot in it that really spoke to me. the Blue Devil had kind of hit a dead end in his career as an actor since he looked like a 7 foot tall blue devil. There were some typecasting issues, and also because he was loyal to the producer who gave him his first big break, and essentially he gets a deal from the devil to change this around, and you know he's not a complete idiot. He's read the stories and he researches what the devil is asking him to do, and he can't find the hitch. He can't find the flaw, and he's just so emasculated by not being able to succeed in his dream that he ends up taking the deal, and what he does is just knock out a power station for a couple of hours. But unfortunately, that's the critical couple of hours that his producer is flying over the desert and therefore doesn't see the deactivated power lines, and she dies. And as soon as she dies, the offers start pouring in like crazy. And, you know, I look at that, and I look at those people whose success is tied to totally horrible events in their lives. Well, just to take one of the less drastic examples, the Fun Home, Alison Bechdel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to myself, yeah, there are things that I want more than success in comics, and it's. And as much time of day that I devote to success in comics, it's mm-hmm. very important to remember that.
Absolutely. Mr. Campbell, if I may, I do want to thank you very much for staying with us and having this great conversation after the fact of having the show. And if I may, take everything that we recorded and put it as a small episode out and on Wednesday. As a Webcomic Beacon show, with your permission, of course, since it wasn't what you originally came on for, but it's all really great information.
Well, sure, yeah, I've been having a blast all the way through it. you can feel free to edit down my rambling a little bit, and yeah, you know, anytime you guys are ready, because you're so good at finding the right stories to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish I'd had your information gathering skills a few years ago.
Well, I've recently expanded the crew of the podcast because, you know, I came to the realization I can't do this all by myself. So, so I've got a lot of great people working with me.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
Well, Mr. Campbell, I do thank you once again for coming on the show, and we'll get the links to all your projects in the show notes, and the newscast should go out somewhat tonight. The next show should go out on Wednesday. And I just have to say, this has been the Webcomic Beacon EP, an episode 179, impromptu episode recorded after the last newscast. Be sure to listen to that episode as well, in addition to this one, to see where we're coming from. And, of course, we had Eric Kimmel of XCern.com, who was our resident news hound, gathered a lot of the resources and was on this show. Ross Scott of The System as the host and director of this episode, as well, I guess, and, of course, the newscast as well.
And of course, you guys know, you know me as Fess. And be sure to tune in next week for more podcasts at webcomicbeacon.com.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.
What I didn't say, and what I would prefer to keep off the record, is that
wait. We are still broadcasting.